Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Melissa Hammer. We begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline is brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill. Holdrege, Nebraska custom harvester J.C. Skemper is moving his harvest crew to Montana. Skemper says the wheat they've cut so far this season has been outstanding.
Oklahoma was very good to us, you know, averaged a lot of 40s and 50s across the state, and had a nice crop there, and it just went very fast. We had a few rain days to begin with, but once June 1st hit, it's just been kind of a go time. So it hasn't had many rain days, and we've been very busy and very fortunate with good weather and good conditions.
Yep, and as long as you keep the machines running, you're doing good then.
That's exactly right. So, you know, we got into Kansas there and kind of hit over there on the western side of the state. And, gosh, what we did over there, a lot of the dry land making, you know, 60s and 70s, some of it even making 80s, and irrigated making, you know, 110, 120 bushels.
Skemper says the crop around Great Falls, Montana will be more variable.
We've had a lot of hail in the Great Falls area this time, and one side of the field might make 70, 80 bushel, but the other side may make 20 bushels. So it's just kind of a matter of where you were standing at when the hail hit, and we'll probably cut it all. I don't think there's anything zeroed out, but the bushels have been knocked down, obviously, with the hail we've had there in June. They started the swathers on Sunday, and I would figure by, you know, a weekend here, Friday, Saturday, somewhere in there, we'll probably be trying it, because they're actually getting some 90-degree weather now where they've had all 70s and 80s, which is great for filling it out and making the best out of what we have.
Idaho Wheat Commissioner Cliff Tackey says harvest in Idaho just getting started.
Bear in mind, a little different than North Dakota, we have elevations that start at less than 1,000 feet and go up to about 6,000. So the lowest elevations have started their harvest, and I would say from the 1,000 to 2,000 feet level, harvest is getting going, and I would say in about 2 to 3 weeks, we'll be up in the 3,000-foot level and higher, and we'll just move on from there. And when we get over to eastern Idaho, where the highest elevations are, I'm sure they're a month out yet, although I haven't seen the crop, but I can't imagine them being too far ahead of schedule.
And the heat is starting to set in after a cool spring.
And we are strictly out of the rain cycle now, and we were short on rain the whole spring, really. We had enough rain to make a crop, but it certainly wasn't anything extra. And I think the crop will survive well because of the cold weather that we've had up until about a week ago, so, which was a real blessing. Just from looking at the crop, I think that the crop, at least in our area of Idaho, is going to be at least an average crop. And I think the quality, unless I haven't heard anything bad, so I'm going to say the quality is going to be very acceptable, very good.
And that's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by the North Dakota Mill, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and Amity Technology.
Nutrien Ag Solutions meteorologist Eric Snodgrass says the jury is still out on the amount of damage caused by Monday night's derecho.
There are certainly pockets that saw winds well over 100 miles an hour coming out of Iowa into northwestern Illinois and north central Illinois. But as I'm looking right now, I'm driving north to Chicago on Interstate 57, which is in the eastern side of the state of Illinois. And so far, I have yet to see damage on these fields. And you would have looked last night and saw severe thunderstorm warnings that stretched all throughout this area. So on the whole, we have yet to assess how many acres were damaged, but certainly this is going to start to tear up a little bit of the corn belt.
Snodgrass says the amount of weather damage this season is accumulating.
And when you add it to the severe weather we've seen lately, like the northern plains were hit with 2 days in a row of both hail and straight-line wind we had back in early July, the hail event that just wiped out acreage south of the North Platte River, which is right along I-80 in Nebraska, we're really starting to see some depletion in the acreage potential for this crop, and now the yield should be hurt a little bit as well. Will it be enough to spark some sort of, you know, movement in the markets? I don't know. But certainly something to be on the lookout for.
In North Dakota, 29% of the soybeans are blooming. That's well behind last year's 44%. 70% of the spring wheat is heading, and 12% of the crop is turning color. 77% of North Dakota's corn is in good to excellent condition. 82% of the canola is blooming, which is just below last year and the average. 42% of the dry edible beans are blooming, and 70% of North Dakota's potato crop is blooming, well ahead of 50% last year.
In Minnesota, topsoil moisture rated 98% adequate to surplus. 58% of the corn is in good to excellent condition. Silking is 16% complete. 46% of Minnesota soybeans are blooming, up from 32% last week. 23% of the wheat is coloring. The first cutting of alfalfa is 94% complete, the second cutting at 38% complete.
And in South Dakota, 22% of the soybeans are blooming. That's well behind the 38% level both last year and the average. Corn silking is at 5%. 15% of South Dakota's winter wheat is harvested, near the 18% level seen last year. 63% of the pasture and rangeland is in good to excellent condition.
And the SU Extension soybean specialist Wade Webster says that white mold is the big worry heading into summer.
The big thing right now, as of what is it, July 15th, is going to be white mold application. So we're getting into the flower and growth stages, and when flowering comes white mold. So we want to make sure that if we are having consistent moisture, if that soil surface is wet like it has been, we're seeing flowers and canopy closure in that crop, we want to make sure we get those sprayers ready. Thinking, again, white mold, fungicide applications.
All the spring moisture could lead to root problems for soybeans.
Talking about the moisture, if the irrigation in the sky turns off, then what's going to happen is a lot of these plants that essentially didn't need to establish good root systems, they're going to have really short, stunted roots. And we may see some very, very quick wilting if we see some drought conditions start to show up in the next couple of weeks.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Van On & Company analyst Christy Van On is watching how this corn market reacts.
Pressure showing up now here into the wheat complex. I just worry about corn's ability to kind of build out of here. It looked like it was going to really try. We got a friendly report on Friday. We came into yesterday's trade, and man, beans cannot find a floor underneath them right now, and neither can wheat, to be honest. And so that's just weighing on the corn market. We do see some positive action today in corn and soybeans. I'm a little bit nervous about its ability to hold on.
AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Burke says traders are doing a little short covering after the recent sell-off.
First of all, when you look at corn, you see the $4 level. There's going to be some bargain buying down there at that level. We had a little bit of a coming through the weekend, expecting some follow through on Monday, not getting it. Not only did we not get follow through, we had quite a bit of pressure. Went down there and tested those lows. So I would say that a little bit of a double bottom yesterday had the market willing to come in here and potentially take some profits. Just consolidation here above this $4 level would actually be a pretty good thing here.
Burke says the livestock market is having a strong day.
Yeah, we've had a pretty good channel forming through May, through June. And so when we look at the bottom side of where we've been, another higher low. So it's just the market from a technical perspective has really held some of those trend lines, and that's been solid. We've seen cash come in a little bit. I've heard some bids a little bit lower than we saw last week, but not a whole lot done early yet. And I think that this cash market is going to lead the way.
The agriculture world continues to evolve more rapidly than ever. Virginia Tech Agriculture Economics Professor Emeritus Dr. David Cole expects agriculture to continue evolving with society's needs, even if it isn't the way that most people would think.
And one of the things that you're going to find is agriculture is going to be tied to the medical field because it relates to soil health, because if you got a healthy soil water, you'll have a healthy plant, animal, human being, and environment. And so what we're seeing is that linkage is coming through.
And that linkage will impact the idea of being proactive rather than reactive.
In the future, you're going to see more proactive health practices. In other words, where was the plant or the animal grown? What went into it? How is it impacting short-term and long-term health? And so that is going to be a very important growth area in agriculture over the next, between now and 2045.
The combination of low-priced corn and high-priced cattle has been favorable for cattle producers in the country. NDSU livestock economist Tim Petrie says herd rebuilding will signify the end of the high prices.
Yeah, people say, when will it plateau and when will it go down? Actually, in a cattle cycle, the highest prices occur when herd rebuilding starts in earnest, and that means we have plenty of moisture around the country and things are a lot better, but, you know, it's a slow, slow process. Even if we kept heifer calves back from last year's calf crop and breed them this summer, again, they won't have a calf and hopefully have a calf next summer, and that calf wouldn't get to market till next year. So it's a slow, slow process.
The prices should continue, with consumers still choosing beef in the grocery store.
Short supplies, and thankfully demand is holding well. That might be something for us to worry about. There are things we still have. Although inflation is down, prices are still high for some things, and high credit card debt and so on, and actually competing meat prices are moderating. But, you know, as of now, you know, we're looking for these strong prices to hold and have, you know, for North Dakota, our calf marketing season will start the heavyweight yearlings in September, and then the calves coming in October, November. We look for prices to be at or near record levels.
Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet News newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X. It's all at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. For the first 9 months of the fiscal year, CHS reports net income of more than $990 million. That's down from a record $1.6 billion in the same period last year. Through the third quarter, net income is at its third highest level in history. CHS Chief Strategy Officer Olivia Nelligan says the cooperative is positioned to deal with the current downturn in commodity prices.
We are seeing a bit of a slowdown with commodity prices declining, and we're certainly seeing decreased export volumes as well. And then on the energy side, you know, it really our results are attributable to just near high industry capacity utilization rates this year versus other years. So again, seeing that downward pressure on commodity margins. And so when we are in that environment, of course, we are looking to optimize performance by making sure we're making good decisions on behalf of the U.S. farmer.
2 months ago, CHS and West Central Ag Services signed a non-binding letter of intent to join together. Nelligan said the due diligence is continuing for this proposal.
We are still in due diligence, so I'm maybe a little bit limited on what I can say. So we're continuing to explore whether a deal might be feasible in that regard. I mean, what I can say is West Central Ag Services, based out of Ulan, Minnesota, is a very successful cooperative. We've had a long-term partnership with them, and we respect their management team. And it's an opportunity to bring our supply chains together potentially and give them greater global market access. So we're excited about the possibility, and we're currently evaluating that potential.
September Minneapolis wheat down 3 cents, 577¾. December spring wheat Minneapolis down 2 cents, 599¼. September wheat Chicago down a penny, 531½. Kansas City hard red winter wheat September contract 3¾ cents lower, 551¾. September corn up 4 cents, 394½. August soybeans up 10½ to 1088½. In Winnipeg, November canola up $6.30 per metric ton. That's sitting at $6.2170 Canadian. August feeders down 12 cents. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.